Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Expected to be joined shortly by Bruce Feldman from The Athletic. Also does some work with Fox Sports as well. So looking forward to that conversation with him. Talking all things Tennessee Volunteers, the hiring of Josh Heupel. We'll have Hal Gill joining us at 9:30 to get into the latest with the Nashville Predators with him as well. But Joe, the introductory press conference yesterday with Heupel, what were your takeaways? What did you think of Heupel, his first appearance as the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers?
I like the orange tie.
It was great, good looking tie.
Very nice orange tie. It was a little bit late, showing up a little
about
bit late.
30 minutes late.
Yeah, you know.
Fashion, is that, does that qualify as being fashionably late when you show up 30 minutes late to your introductory press conference?
I guess, especially if you've got the fashion. You know, you get the tie. But listen, I mean, honestly, my expectations were very low. So I was impressed. Now, was I impressed in just period, or was I impressed because my expectations were so low? I don't know, but I thought he was fine. I thought it was a lot of stuff that you hear at intro pressers.
Yeah, like there were a couple interesting tidbits. I mean, he talked about the offense, what he wants his philosophy to be, the tempo that he wants to bring to the table. I thought the message that he had for like the current players there was interesting. I don't know if plea is the right word, but it was kind of a sales pitch of, hey, guys, you know, hang with us. You know, hang with us here. Give us a chance. I thought that part of it was pretty interesting to his message to current players on the roster.
Yeah, that was. And you know, specifics on the offense, he made some good points there. You want to hear from a coach about having different kinds of players, even when they're known as a system coach, that you've had different kinds of skill sets and been able to work with them. And that's what good coaching is.
So to help us talk more about the hiring of Josh Heupel, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Bruce Feldman from The Athletic, also with Fox Sports as well. Bruce, thanks so much for taking time to join us. We appreciate it.
Good morning, guys. Good to be on with you.
So Bruce, what were your impressions of the hiring of Josh Heupel? Were you surprised that this was the route that Danny White and the Tennessee Volunteers ended up going with their coaching search?
You know, I was in the end. I'll be honest. I mean, I saw the reports. I guess it was the local rival site had some information on it, and I started hearing more about it that night. But I'll be honest. At that point, I mean, from the sources I talked to, they were like, they thought it was real. They thought he was in on it, but I just didn't think that they would end up actually hiring Josh Heupel. I mean, obviously, he was 28-8. That's a really strong record in 3 years at UCF. I think probably the best selling point is that he has been a really good offensive coach there, and that's obviously something the Vols have really lacked for a while on that side of the ball. But just in this side of it, where in each of the last 3 years, pretty much since the first year, it feels like that program has backslid. And you talk to coaches in the AAC, and that's the same feeling they have. And you kind of wonder, you know, was Josh Heupel a year away from potentially being on the hot seat at UCF? I don't know. I mean, at the same time, and this is something we had written a lot about after they had fired Jeremy Pruitt, was this is a really tough job in search process they were going to have, because not only has the roster been pretty gutted, and a lot of guys are in the portal, but you also have to keep in mind that they are having potential NCAA sanctions hanging over this job. And no matter who takes it, they're not going to be able to give, you know, they're basically going to be able to guesstimate what they may get, but they don't know. And so I think that only made it that much more complicated for Danny White to try to find guys who really wanted to be all in for this job.
Yeah, and I think realistic, you know, Tennessee fans, Bruce, can't be surprised that a James Franklin or even, you know, a P.J. Fleck would say thanks but no thanks, or however exactly those conversations went. But do you think, and if you have specifics, I'd love them. There are other coaches out there who maybe Danny White didn't look at, didn't approach, who could have been better options here, who might have been realistic choices.
You know, I don't know how hard they would have made a move to try to get Jamie Chadwell, also a really good offensive coach. Now, unlike Josh Heupel, Jamie Chadwell has never worked at the Power 5 level. Now, obviously, he is has ties to the state. I think it would have been hard if they really made a real effort at Jamie Chadwell for him to have said no to Tennessee. But again, Danny White knows what he's getting with Josh Heupel. And like I said, and this is a guy who, by the way, did coach in the SEC East for a couple of years at Missouri and put up good offenses. So I think there is something that they can sell there. I mean, when you talk about a James Franklin, I think he is proven to be a top 10 coach. The reality, though, is James Franklin's making $7.5 million. And when he was at Penn State early on, he had to deal with all sorts of issues that it was a scandal-ridden program, and there were a lot of holes in that roster he had to build up. So he'd already done a lot of heavy lifting to get that out. The idea that I don't know what they would have had to pay him to leave what he already has at Penn State, especially given the uncertainty of at Tennessee. P.J. Fleck is making quite a bit of money now. If you're going to hire P.J. Fleck, they might have had to pay him $7 million to get him to leave. And you do that, and all of a sudden you look, and yes, P.J. Fleck has done a nice job at Minnesota, but he's also 15-19 in 4 years on the easier side of the conference. I think that's a tough sell to say, hey, we're going to have to pay this guy $7 million, and it's not like we're getting, you know, Urban Meyer or somebody with James Franklin's credentials in there for it. So I think that's one of the challenges. You're going to have to pay a lot of money and to get somebody to take this situation right now. I mean, that's why I thought their options were going to circle back to Jamie Chadwell from Coastal, maybe Lance Leipold, who's done a really, really good job at Buffalo, who was actually hired at Buffalo by Danny White when he was the AD there. I mean, the big names, I mean, Matt Campbell, I mean, I don't see why he also would want to be in the fishbowl at Tennessee in this, given the craziness that that program has had. I just didn't see him, you know, leaving what he has for that. It just didn't seem like it was a sensible move on his side. So, again, I think their options were pretty limited given what this job is right now.
Bruce Feldman from The Athletic, also with Fox Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Bruce, a guy a lot of Tennessee fans pointed to when this process began was Gus Malzahn, obviously no longer at Auburn. And obviously that's not going to happen, and I don't know whether or not he was contacted in this process at all. What do you think the future looks like right now with Gus Malzahn in the coaching world? Do you think he gets a Power 5 opportunity again relatively soon?
I don't know. You know, obviously he got paid a lot to not coach now at Auburn. I think he's proven to be a good coach. I think as it related to Tennessee, the part I couldn't really figure out was this Tennessee, you know, kind of made a big move to get Kevin Steele in there. And I just didn't think the same people would go hire Kevin Steele or create that dynamic would then turn around and try to hire Gus Malzahn, given what we'd heard that how that dynamic was for the last year or so. So I thought that was kind of a non-starter. Now look, if Tennessee had landed on Gus Malzahn, I could see, again, like Josh Heupel, you have a guy who is an offensive coach and a proven offensive coach, and he's won a lot of games. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, he played for a national title. I mean, I certainly think that would have been better than what they just had. Again, I think it's what do they feel like is the best for the program at this time? And, I don't know. I do think it's hard for, especially an SEC program, to turn around and hire a guy who just got fired from your same league. I think the optics are hard for a lot of ADs to really get their heads around for that. And also the people who are, honestly, even more than that, I think it's harder for the people who are, you know, the ones who bring the money to the table, whether the boosters or the power brokers around the job itself. I think those are the ones who are like, we're not going to hire a guy who just got fired in this league.
So, Bruce, with Heupel, do you think that he can recruit as you need to recruit in this league to get Tennessee where it wants to go? And obviously, you know, the staff is going to be important there. And then his scheme, how do you think that translates. Like you said, he was at Missouri. They had a terrific, they had terrific numbers when he was OC. They also didn't do, they really loaded up on the bad teams, you know, if you really dig in on the numbers. I mean, how do you think those two things will work out?
I think the recruiting part of this is kind of the truly unknown there. I mean, because that is going to be about what you can get to buy in. A lot of it's going to come to certainly who's on his staff and who he hires as assistants. You know, when you're at UCF, you have great resources at the Group of Five level. It is probably the best job in Group of Five because of the recruiting landscape and the local recruiting footprint you're in. And you're in an area where there's just a lot of players. I'm not saying that there aren't good players around Tennessee, but their battle is going to be way different for it. You know, if you're a kid who gets to stay home and play at UCF in Orlando, as opposed to having to go someplace else that maybe isn't, you know, that's not Alabama, that's not LSU, that's not Ohio State, you're probably going to listen. The question is going to be, is Josh Heupel going to be able to win some battles against Dabo Swinney, to win some battles against Kirby Smart, to win some battles against Nick Saban and, you know, all these other heavyweights, because that's what it's going to take. You know, I mean, you can talk about, you know, how good this offense was and everything like that, but they have not recruited anywhere near well enough to be a top 15 kind of team. You know, it's like people can say, yeah, the roster had gotten better under Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, it still was nowhere near as good enough. And that's with some issues now that have come to light, you know, with this investigation on top of it. So, scheme-wise, I think you're right. I mean, look, I mean, he had a really good quarterback at Mizzou, did a good job with Drew Locke, but I think, as you pointed out, there is it fool's gold a little bit. I mean, I think that some of those numbers were very eye-catching, but then you looked at who they did it against. Now, they still count, but, you know, again, I think this will be interesting to see what he does, because it's a much different challenge to be the head coach taking over Tennessee now than it was to follow Scott Frost with what they had there and how they were positioned in the AAC.
Yeah, who they did it against, including Butch Jones's Vols in 2017, who gave up 50 to that offense. So, Bruce, last thing on the investigation. I know, obviously, details to come. We've got, you know, Pruitt is lawyered up, and that's going to be interesting. But from the Tennessee perspective, if they self-sanction, they've done this investigation. In today's climate, how much do you think that could help them, you know, again, without knowing all the details, help them avoid major sanctions here?
It's really impossible to say, because you just try to think about, like, how many places have you seen where they fired the head coach and fired nine more staffers, including two on-the-field coaches? I mean, that is a significant level of outrage for leadership to have. And when you have the chancellor of the school and the president of the school standing on a podium and talking about level one and level two violations, I mean, you wonder, like, how many players is that compromise? Does that mean guys who are suspended, is that enough, you know, in terms of for the NCAA side? I mean, usually the NCAA just doesn't look at it and go, okay, that's that, and they wipe their hands of it. I mean, the part that I think is pretty daunting for, you know, again, and maybe, you know, if you're Josh Heupel, I get why you take this job, given, you know, some of the situation at UCF and the way it felt like it was trending, and obviously he knows his boss, but at the same time, very few coaches take a job that has an investigation and they have a true, real sense of what's going to come. They don't know. Go ask Lane Kiffin or anybody who was on Lane Kiffin's staff when they left Knoxville if they had any clue how hard the NCAA was going to come down on them, right? And what happened there, there was one guy who lost his job at USC, not about 10. Now, you could argue that Tennessee was proactive and they fired these guys, but if the fact that they did this right before a search, I don't know. I mean, you can spin it however you want to spin it. I just don't think anybody really has any sense what the NCAA is going to decide and how much more they're going to find or potentially could find from this.
Bruce Feldman has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Does some great work with The Athletic and Fox Sports as well. Bruce, appreciate you taking time to join us, man. It's great stuff. Always fascinating with the things going on in Knoxville, Tennessee, that's for sure.
Never a dull moment, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Bruce Feldman, one of the best in the business. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Bruce had to say there and get into Josh Heupel a little bit more. What's the best-case scenario for him in the next few years as the head coach of the Vols? That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.